1 Corinthians 12. And I'm going to read it out first of all, and then we're going to just have a look at this this passage here. This is Paul, just to give you a little bit of background, because we haven't really done much in Corinthians. We did do 1 Corinthians 13 a few weeks ago, which was the foundation I described for all church ministry, really, which is that God loves and God's love in us is key, because without love we're pretty useless. But a lot of Corinthians is written, Paul, the Apostle Paul writes this to the Corinthian church, and a lot of it is quite corrective, shall we say. He's kind of looking, he's found out about issues in the church, and he says, don't do it like this, do it like that. But he's giving a gospel reason. He's explaining why through Christ we are a different people, and this is how we live differently. And so anyway, so this is part of that letter, and so I'm going to read from chapter 12, verse 1. Which says, now about gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we are all given one Spirit to drink, and so the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I do not need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Okay. Now this passage in my previous church was taught a lot. It was talked about a lot. Louise and I grow up? We didn't really grow up, but we kind of matured a little bit in our Pentecostal church for many years. And this is one of the key teachings of the Pentecostal church. And so it became very familiar to me. But I found when I went to university that the gifts, talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, can be quite controversial. Can be. And if you've been going through the healing DVDs, the Randy Clark healing DVDs, as some of you have been, Randy Clark often mentions that some people teach that these gifts of the Holy Spirit stopped in the first century. They were something that the early church worked and had, but then I don't think they really explain why, but for some reason that stopped, and so the Holy Spirit doesn't really work in the church today in that way. So some people teach that and have heard that teaching. Other of us have had bad experiences with maybe abuse of this kind of thing, which is actually what Paul's teaching against in this book, ironically. And so through bad experiences, we shut down to it. We think, okay, don't really want to have anything to do with that. Other of us might have had strange experiences that maybe then haven't been followed up or dealt with very well or taught on properly. And so we've become a bit fearful of these things. And I don't know about you, but there's this common maybe perception or image in Christian circles that people that who are the most filled with the Holy Spirit are also the most wacky people. And not all of us wants to be wacky, right? You know, we quite like just being just us. And so this idea of being filled with the Spirit means it seems sometimes that we just have to start wearing bright colours and speaking strange things and saying, thus saith the Lord all the time. And maybe we find this parting of the sea type effect when we go into a room. Not sea, but people, right? Oh. Is that slightly? Do you know what I mean? So we kind of sometimes stay away from that kind of thing. And I guess you may have some of that, you may have all of that, you may have none of that, but I'm guessing that some of us, all of us, have at least some kind of baggage that we bring to this kind of topic and think, okay, well, I've got some experience of this, and some of it's good and some of it's bad. And I think, first of all, we need to acknowledge that as Christians, this is part of the Christian faith, and it's a unique thing about the Christian faith, we worship a triune God, meaning that we worship a God who is three persons in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not going to go into the theology of that, but actually I'm just going to give you, I think I might have said this before, but someone once explained it to me brilliantly when they said the Trinity is less a theological concept, i.e. something that we just talk about, because people talk about the Trinity endlessly, don't know, how can it be three in one and all this kind of thing. But he said, actually, the Trinity is the way that we encounter God in various different ways. And so as we read the scriptures, as we read the journey of, say, Abraham and Moses, and how did they encounter God? Well, they experienced him and they understood him as Father. But then also they experienced him as the Son, the Son of God, the King or the Priest. And then sometimes we experience God, or they experience God, and we experience God as Spirit and living kind of almost like you can touch the Son in a way, but you can't touch the Spirit. It's just the fullness of God and the different ways we encounter him. And I just thought, yeah, actually that sometimes is maybe, you know, because sometimes we know God is Father, right? And we just hang on to that. And then sometimes we know that Jesus is right with us, walking along through the difficult things and just like, you know, and we know Jesus is with us. And sometimes we just know God's power in us, and we know the Spirit. And so actually, rather than trying to work it all out, which, by the way, you'll never do, because it's God we're talking about, it's just let's encounter God in the way he comes to us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But first, the thing we need to be clear on is Holy Spirit is God. Not an add-on extra. Not a kind of, you know, sort of you buy a car and do you want electric windows, you pay a little bit more money and you get electric windows. So the Holy Spirit isn't this kind of like sort of extra bit onto God. This is, we're talking about God when we're talking about the Holy Spirit. And so just as we understand Jesus is God, we also understand Holy Spirit is God. How can we say, I want to know God more, but then put a little bit of restriction on the Holy Spirit? Because some people do this. It's like, well, yes, love to know Jesus more, but Holy Spirit, that's just a bit too wacky for me, a bit too out there. I'll just stay with Jesus. We can't say, though, more of you, Father, more of your love, Father God, and more of Jesus and more of your salvation, but Holy Spirit, keep your distance, because I'm quite comfortable without all that stuff. If we want to know more of God, it is to say we want to know more of Father, we want to know more of the Son, and we want to know more of the Holy Spirit. So, I was just thinking, you know, would you buy a car, an expensive car, if you had the money, buy a car and you'd get in the car, think these seats are amazing, leather seats. Oh, smell the leather, love the leather, you know, look at all the gadgets and the thing and read the specification. This car can do 160 miles an hour or whatever, and then never put the petrol in the tank and drive it. You would never do that, you know? But I think sometimes we can limit God by saying, I want to know more about this and I want to know more about that, but some bits are just kind of, this is a bit out of bounds. So if we want to know more of God, we have to include the Holy Spirit in that. Otherwise, we'll always be shortchanging ourselves. And that's what we're talking about, heaven come to earth. You know, if we want to know the more fullness of God's presence and his power, then we need to know Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So anyway, the Holy Spirit works many things in our lives. And this chapter is about some of the things the Holy Spirit does in us. And one of the things the Holy Spirit does is he gives us gifts. And I'm not talking about natural gifts, some things like cooking and DIY or playing how to play football. I mean, you know, R8 Louise is a good cook. Apparently Gordon Ramsay's a good cook. I don't think the Holy Spirit is necessarily overly involved in that, okay? All right? It's just, you know, just one of those things. You know, what we're talking about here, when the Holy Spirit is giving us gifts, we're talking about supernatural things, heaven to earth things, things you wouldn't naturally expect. A commentary I was reading in the week says that spiritual gifts are the gracious endowments leading to miraculous results. These all come by the extraordinary influence of the Holy Spirit. So these are things that you could only really explain that the Holy Spirit is doing something. And so through the Holy Spirit, something of the reality of God, something of the reality of heaven comes to us through these gifts, and we say, okay, this isn't Louise's cooking, or this isn't Richard's piano playing, there is, or whatever it is, this is something beyond my ability or your ability to know or to do or to see. Do you see what I'm talking about? And it says here in verse 1, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. And another translation says, I do not want you to be ignorant. Meaning, I want you to know about these gifts. That's what Paul's saying. I want you to know that these gifts exist. I want you to know how these gifts work and how they manifest, and I want you to be able to use these things. I want you to know about them. I don't want them to be a taboo subject. I don't want them to be a special subject for the chosen few. I don't want them to be only a future. You know, God as well, would be crying out sometimes when we say, you know, we say there are some churches who are Pentecostal and some churches who are just, no, you know, he's saying, I want you all to know about this. I want you all to know about it. Nothing's off limits here. It's not the case where there's just a chosen few who know, you know, never, if you hear any preacher sort of saying there's some hidden knowledge that they will tell you that only they know. That's not what this is about. He says, I don't want any of you to be ignorant about this. I want you to know that there are gifts from the Holy Spirit. They exist, and I want you to know the truth about them. Now, for some reason, the Corinthian church, they were either uninformed or misinformed about these gifts, and I think that is probably true about the whole of the church to certain degrees today. And so let us be informed. So I'm just going to go through some of these things that Paul says about these gifts, and I want so that we can be confident about it and not think, oh dear, what's going on here? And first of all, in verse 2, you see that there is a stark contrast. It's funny, actually, Wendy read out a psalm. What psalm was that? Can you remember that you read out earlier? Oh, don't worry. And it mentioned in that psalm that they were worthless idols. And actually, Paul says that here. He says, you know, there's a big difference between our faith in a living God who speaks and works here and now, and dead religion and dumb idols who are just that. They're nothing. Dumb idols don't speak. Neither do they act. They are powerless and voiceless. I think I've used this example before, but I was watching a documentary on an Afro-Cuban music group, as one does. I mean, you've probably seen the one I'm thinking about, but anyway. And in it, there's one of the musicians. I mean, they're all fantastic musicians. The music from Cuba is just, ironically, so alive and just has this passion and heart beat in it. And one of the musicians was being interviewed, and he went into his house, and he pointed up, and there was this little wooden statue about this big on his shelf. And every day, he fed the idol a bit of cucumber or something. And every day, he would look and he would see, and it's hot in Cuba, right? You know, and the cucumber had started to go rotten. And I mean, cucumber doesn't last long in the fridge, let alone out. And every day this cucumber was getting more and more kind of disintegrated. And he would say, see, my God is receiving my sacrifices. You think, somebody needs to break it to this guy that the cucumber's just going moldy, you know? Now we laugh, but actually this is dumb idols. You know, these are just worthless, powerless bits of wood. And actually, in that culture and in this day, maybe it was a bit easier to see that, because you could actually sort of say to somebody, well, do you realize that's just a statue over there and it's not actually doing anything? But actually, culturally, there is still dead religion in our culture, whether it's a religion where God doesn't speak, when that happens within Christianity and in other religions. But actually, our faith says that God is alive, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, God speaks to us. And through the Holy Spirit, God works in and through us. And through the Holy Spirit, God does things here on this earth. Yeah? And through the Holy Spirit, we know the kingdom of heaven is at hand, because when we see God at work, we know God's here. I just put on Facebook this morning, I know some of you don't do Facebook, but I just happened to see Paul Bennison. We know we talk a lot about him, but he was just again reporting from Colombia. He was praying for a guy in the market. He was he'd gone into a marketplace where normally all his all the people that he stays with say, don't go into this area, it's too dangerous, this marketplace. But he just, for whatever reason, Paul being Paul, he decided this time to go into the marketplace. He prayed with a guy who had four cracked discs or something in his back. And anyway, couldn't walk very well, and one leg longer than the other. By the end of their time in the marketplace, this guy was walking up and down the road and praising God. And he couldn't do that before, he had crutches and all kinds of things. That's the Holy Spirit. That's not Paul. That's the Holy Spirit. Because our God is speaking and acting, and is not like a dumb idol who you can feed a bit of cucumber and kid yourself that he's eating the cucumber and is a happy God. Because actually our God is a happy God, because Jesus has made the sacrifice, and so we're okay, like we said earlier. We're all okay with him, and so he just wants to give us his gifts and us to move in. Anyway, as Randy Clark would say, I'm chasing rabbits now. So let's get back on course. Number two, there are clear yardsticks here which I think we can hold up to the activity of the Holy Spirit and check it's him. Okay? And the first one is that the Holy Spirit always glorifies Father God and always lifts up Jesus as Lord. And so no one can say Jesus is cursed by the Holy Spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit. Okay? And no one can actually say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to be able to say that. Okay, so actually here's the really basic, is this the Holy Spirit? Does it lift up God? Does it magnify the name of the Father and the Son? And if it isn't, and it doesn't, it's not the Holy Spirit. Does it build up the church? Does it edify the church? Does it strengthen the church? Yes? Sounds like the Holy Spirit. Because, I don't know if you've noticed, but there's not many other things that really want to build up the church. You go out the door, put on the TV, or speak to you know, sort of people in general. They're not really that keen on the church being strong. But actually, when the Holy Spirit is at work, and actually the Holy Spirit can be at work through the local council, by the way. You know, I mean, the Holy Spirit can be influencing people in the council and making bungers a bit of money to strengthen and build us up. But we need to recognize that there's a difference when the Holy Spirit's at work. And it says in verse 7 that the different individuals get the Spirit for the common good. It's good for all of us. So if you find one or two people are thinking, I'm having a great time, and everybody else is kind of going, then we've got to question how is that working with the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit comes for the common good. The common good. not just for us on our own. And again, you know, sometimes, again, abuse of this, I've been in situations where it seems to be that the Holy Spirit is given to us so we can have a jolly good time, us individually. And actually, no. You know, the Spirit comes on me so that if I'm with you, you get to hear from God, or you get to receive from God, and vice versa. Third point, I think this is important. The expectation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit should be for everybody and not just special people. Yes, good. Okay, we can move on quickly from that, but I just want to enforce that. Okay, because I think there is a perception that somebody like me who stands at the front, I'm the one who's going to get more, either more gifts or the better gifts or the most spread of the gifts or whatever. People always think like that, because at the end of the day, I'm the guy with the title pastor. And you don't have that title. Okay, and maybe elders, we can bung those into the mix as well. But actually, if you read this passage, it is saying that we are a body with many parts and one whole. I mean, I know we've probably heard that 100 times. But there are no spare parts and there are no missing parts. God puts all these different parts of the body where he wants them to be. And so if you're in the body of Christ, each one of you is there for a reason. Each one of you is gifted with the Holy Spirit. And I'm enjoying, actually, that bit by bit, little different personalities and different gifting traits are coming out of people. And together, it's blessing everybody. Every person here is a part of the body. No misfits, no mistakes. No, I shouldn't really be here. Okay? So, just as we said to one another, as we receive communion, can't remember what we said now. You're a child of God. Everything the Father has is yours. We need to keep living in that. If we're in Christ. Jesus died and rose again. He conquered sin. He brought us new life. Then he ascended into heaven. And somebody, again, this is another profound thing. If you need to realize this, that Jesus had to go so the Spirit could come. And so there's a purpose to him disappearing, if you like. You know, because you think, why didn't he just stay around? You know, he's alive and he's resurrected. I mean, he must have been, that could be a load of fun. Just being Jesus and thinking, right, I'm going to live forever. I'm going to walk around on earth. But actually, no, he's ascended. He sits at the right hand of the Father. And so as a result, the Holy Spirit has come. Let's take advantage of that. That's the gospel. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. It's to your advantage that I go. Who, you would think, I mean, the disciples must be thinking, this is nuts. You know, I mean, this guy can do, he's like, he's got all this power. And we're with him and we're learning so much for him. And here he's saying, it's to your advantage that I go away. That's like my kids, you know, I'm saying it's lunchtime, but I'm popping off. You know, make your own lunch. My girls would look at me and say, this is no advantage to me. I need you to butter the bread and cut the cheese and what have you, you know. But actually, Jesus says, it's to your advantage that I go away, if I do not go away, the Helper, that's the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And that's the gospel, isn't it? I've got a lot to say. Let's keep going. And finally, on just a few points here, the gifts are things, now this is maybe a bit controversial, but I think we need to just hang on to this. The gifts are things we need to seek and strive for. On the whole, the gifts don't just fall on us. He says right at the end here, what does he say? Now eagerly desire the greatest gifts. And at the end of, at the beginning of chapter 14, it says, desire spiritual gifts. There is something where we need to say, God, I know I've got all this, but I now want to receive these things. I want to live in these things. And it's a bit, coming back to the body, I was thinking about this. You know, we have arms and legs, and we're born with arms and legs, and we learn how to walk. And arms and legs are pretty functional, right? You know, all of us can walk with our legs. But actually, if we want these legs to run 100, no. Let's not be 100. Run 10 miles. Bryony, congratulations. You did 10 miles last week. You know, and I know some of us run, some of us cycle. You know, but if you want to do that, you have to put the work in. Yeah? And it's the same with these spiritual gifts. And I, you know, let me tell you, if you want to ride 100 miles, which I've done, you know, you don't sort of think, oh, I might do that. You know, you have to sort of dedicate yourself. So I'm going to keep pressing on to this. And it's hard sometimes when it's raining or whatever. You just got to keep going. The same with this. I think if we want to to receive the fullness, we have to keep saying to God, okay, today, a little bit more. Tomorrow, a little bit more, please. Seek the gifts for the good of the church. Do you know what? The church is a much better place when you have sought the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's going to be great. Imagine that. Next week, you'll come. I mean, it'd be like Christmas every week. Yeah? Yeah, exactly. You know, what do children do? I've just realized this. What do children do? What did our girls do this week? In very neat handwriting, I have to say. A very detailed list. 2 months in advance. It's no longer Dear Father Christmas, because they don't believe in any of that stuff anymore. So, Dear Mum and Dad, this is what we want. Why don't we do that? Dear Father, every week, please could I have? I'll leave that with you. Now, carrying on, verse 4, it says there are different kinds of gifts, there are different kinds of services and ministries, there are different kinds of activities of the Holy Spirit, and God is at work in all of them. And I think I just want you to know that God is not restricted to a set list here, of set way of doing things. That God is very creative, and the Holy Spirit is very creative and very personal, and in different churches and at different times, he will do different things. And so, you know, we've got a list of things here, and I think we need to, sometimes we think, well, we need to have this and we need to have this. I would just say, pray for more of the Holy Spirit, pray for gifts of the Spirit, and then just see what happens. I'm not saying I'm going to be really vague with that, and, you know, because there's criteria in how this all works together, but actually, I think he's just saying there's a whole load of stuff the Holy Spirit wants to do and wants to say. And so there are gifts. He does list the whole load of gifts at the beginning of this chapter from verse 8 onwards, and then towards the end there's some more gifts as well. I'm just going to rattle through them so that you can just get a bit of an idea of the kind of thing that the Holy Spirit is capable of, if you like. But there's so much more. He talks of words of wisdom. You know, divinely inspired, not wisdom that you've gained because, you know, you've been around a bit and you've seen a bit of life, but actually there are just moments in life where you say, Lord, I need some wisdom. I've been in situations where people have asked me awkward questions and I've been like, okay, what do I say now? And then just somewhere this wisdom just drops in. I think, and people, sometimes some people, they quote me. They say, that was really wise when you said that. And I'm thinking, did I say that? I wouldn't have thought to have said that. You know, I wouldn't have thought to say that because that's not kind of in my thinking normally. I watched the Archbishop of Canterbury answering a whole interview with Jeremy Vine, and Jeremy Vine was firing questions, not in an antagonistic way, but he was firing really difficult questions at him, and you could just see the Archbishop, just he would take a moment, and I think he just seemed to be like, right, okay, Lord, how do I answer this one? And then just wisdom kept flowing out of his mouth. I just thought, I want to be like that. That's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit gives us words of knowledge. That means there would be things that we would know that we wouldn't otherwise know, but they come from God. I'll give you an example. She doesn't mind, but I was praying for Bryony after the Randy Clark conference, and I just was praying a prayer. But she said, was it two or three other people had prayed the pretty much the exact thing however many years ago or whatever? I didn't know that. I mean, these are quite specific things. I didn't know those things. I can't even remember those things. You know, because my old pastor, he said, don't ask me what I prophesied, because I can't remember, because it's not me speaking a lot of the time. And I can't remember what I prayed, but I just know that Bryony knew that it was from God because somebody else had prayed it as well. And that's God's knowledge. I didn't know that. That's just one example. That kind of thing does happen. Sometimes he gives us with faith. You know, it's not just that, you know, we all believe that kind of faith. Yeah, we have that faith. And actually that comes from the Holy Spirit as well. But there are times when actually just God gives us an extra bit of faith. You know, when Ella was a year old, she came out of surgery and she had this 7-hour operation, and the surgeon who knew her inside out said this esophagus will not last more than 12 months, I think he said. 6 to 12 months, pretty sure he said. It wasn't long. And I remember inside me, I'm very literal, and if somebody says something like that, and I trust them because they're medical and they've got degrees and PhDs and whatever, I just say, I normally go along with things like that, but there was something in me that said, no, it's not. Now that's not me, because I'm not normally like that. I'm normally quite pessimistic, you'll ask Louise. You know, I'm usually thinking the worst, or in medical situations, you know, if somebody says you've got 2 years to live, I'm making sure I've got everything wrapped up by the end of the week. That's just me. But when he said 12 months for this esophagus, I thought, no. And here we are, 9, 10 years later. Okay, other bits of her could do with a bit of work. That esophagus is still going. In fact, it seems to be going better and better. I don't know. That's not this week.
Next week. She's going in hospital. And they're going to be putting the camera down. So I'm praying that what to see.
Yes. But that's the gift of faith. Okay, I mean, and that's not me. That's not me saying I'm going to believe that he's talking nonsense. It's just something in me. I can remember sitting there in the intensive care unit. That's not going to happen. Where's that come from? That's faith. Gift of healing. Well, you know, I just mentioned Paul Benison earlier, but that's not just for Paul Benison, okay? We can all receive that. Miraculous powers, same kind of thing, you know. Some of us need to start walking on water. Seriously. Prophecy. The foretelling or speaking into reality of what God's doing. You know, Sheila keeps reminding us this, but there was a lady who just... And again, these are mysterious things. There was a lady who dropped in, I think, twice. It was one Christmas. It was a Christmas when we were having the work done here, and it was cold, and it was a bit rough and ready. And Sheila, this lady turned up on Christmas morning, I think it was, and Sheila showed her around and just sort of showed her what we'd been doing, where we were going. And this lady said, it seems like this is like a school blazer, you know, that's too big for you, but you'll grow into it, or something along those lines. You know, and she keeps reminding me this, because actually, look at us, you know, we're growing into it. We're growing into it.
Yeah.
Well, it's stretching all of us. Well, I just want to, there's another couple of guys, which actually you guys will know. There's a guy called Stuart Lindsay. He spoke here a while back. I just want to remind you of these things, that when God speaks prophetically, he came up and his wife was sitting in the front row, like where Keith and Margaret are, and he was speaking. And I watched her reaction as this happened, because he started saying, as he was praying, he said things. And one of the things he said was, this place will be used where people will sign on for work. And his wife was looking at him as if saying, what are you doing? It's like, and she said, he doesn't normally say things like that. But what are we doing? Job club. Yeah? I mean, God spoke about that about 4 or 5 years ago. Again, another guy, Martin Scott, who was another friend of these, he came and we wrote down his prophecy. He said, raise up debt counseling, were his words. I showed Daniel this. You know, God speaks these things. Now, the thing with prophecy is not just God saying what's going to happen in the future, but I think sometimes we have to announce this thing. It almost speaks it into action. You see, what did Ezekiel do with the dry bones? What did God say? Prophesy to the bones. Why? Well, God could have raised those bones up, but somebody has to speak it to make it happen. You see? There's a connection there. Because God, what did he do? At the beginning, he spoke. So when we have a word from God, actually, it's more than us just kind of saying, oh, hope you get it. It's just, we speak this into reality. There's loads of things here. You know, you can go through the list. There's that tongues, there's interpretation of tongues. And later on he talks about apostles, prophets, teachers, you know, all of those things. By the way, I mean, I don't do this job because I have some natural gifts, but they're mainly in music. The Holy Spirit works through the ministry of the church. Okay. I'm not trained in speaking in front of people. but actually God speaks through me. And I'm confident in that. I'm confident to be able to stand up here and say this, I do this quite well because the Holy Spirit allows me to. That all of the ministries of the church are the working of the Holy Spirit. And so, just to end, how do we, just very quickly, how do we grow in this practically? First, I want to just encourage you, keep seeking the Holy Spirit. Keep asking for more of these gifts. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's our daily prayer request. And ask the Father for more of what we've already been given. And coming back to what Wendy said earlier, you know, it's already there. And what Louise and Wendy was, and often are we noticing that actually this, the Holy Spirit is working through several people at the same time to say the same thing. So I can't remember who said what actually now, so I'm just, oh, you lot. you know, we've already been given these things, so let's take advantage of them. Let's ask for God for what he's already given us. I think there's something in us where we have to just be open and relaxed and sort of say, okay, whatever you want to do, give that to me now. And let's learn to tune in to what God's, how he's saying and doing things. And last week we talked a bit about this, but some people will get pictures or visions. You know, this lady had a vision of it being like a coat, an old school coat. I don't know how she got that, but sometimes we get pictures. Sometimes we get visions or dreams. We, you know, where it's like a video and you can walk it through. Sometimes we just get a word. My old pastor, he was in a prayer meeting once and he just said, I've got the word zucchini. Does anyone know what a zucchini is? Yeah, well that's the thing. It's an American word for courgette. But actually there was only one person in the room that knew what he was what that word was, because there's only one other American in the room. And so through that, then God spoke to them through the word. But if you just sit thinking, why am I thinking of courgettes or zucchini? You've got to speak it out. Otherwise, you're just wondering, I'm a nutter. I'm thinking about vegetables, you know, this is, but you need to speak these things out, yeah? It might be just a word.
But also, thinking that those words, not just for yourself.
No, no, exactly.
For somebody else.
Exactly. So you've got...
So somebody else in the congregation who you don't know might be going through something, but God has given you that, those words.
Yeah.
To give comfort or yep. Encouragement to somebody else.
Exactly. Exactly. And I would actually challenge you, I think this week, some of us will get a name. A name of, maybe a name of the congregation. So, and I think Trenor, bless her, I remember Trenor saying that there was a couple of times, I think, I'm pretty sure the story was that she just got the pastor's name in her head and she had to pray for him. And at that time, I think the wheel had fallen off his car or something. It was some story, I have to, you know, it was one of these things. But it's one of these things where God can just put a name in your mind. You either need to pray for them there and then or call them, but act upon it. That's the Holy Spirit. We've got to tune into these things. Or you might actually get a name of somebody outside church and you think, I need to maybe call them up to see how they're doing. That's the Holy Spirit giving you a bit of a... Yeah? Sometimes you might actually think, I need to go to Tesco's. It may even be Tesco's. Why? I've already got bread and milk. But if the Holy Spirit might, you might just think, I need to go to Tesco's, or I mean, I need to go down the road, or whatever. I need to take the dog for a walk. That's how the Holy Spirit, you've got to tune into these things. You might get, we talked about this last week, like Randy Clark talks about a pain or a sensation. You know, you may be, and if you're in that, you might sort of say, I've got, like as Graham was bold enough to do last week, I've got a pain in my wrist. Has anyone here got a pain in their wrist? Come up, can I pray for them? Because that's God's not giving you a pain in the wrist for fun, but because he wants to say through you, I need to pray for somebody else. I'm just giving you examples so you can just say, oh, actually, I get this all the time. I'm always thinking that their names are always popping into my head or whatever. One thing for me, I would call them out of characterisms. You know, when like with a faith thing with Ella and that's not going to happen. Just when you know that you would normally do this and you feel an urge to do that. Now, you've got to check that, obviously. If it's an urge to jump off a cliff, yeah. Or urge to push your husband off a cliff, you know, I mean, maybe, I don't know, whatever. But you've just got to check, okay, is this... But at the same time, I think God does that in me. He's just like... I mean, it's not in my character to be risky with money at all. At all. So this stuff with CAP and this building is just... God, I just feel God's in it. Got to go for it. Sorry, one or two more. I just want to encourage you, because you know, after the summer, and sometimes God just gives us a verse of scripture, just a simple verse of scripture. I don't know if you remember, Cherry, but at that time when I came back from my break in Norway, and Ben was supposed to be preaching, and we just had a bit of a conflict because Ben was, I can't remember, he couldn't make it, he was ill or something. I thought, I'm going to preach, I've had this message, but then you had a verse, just a verse, she said, this is what I'm going to say. I thought I was going to bring this morning, and it was exactly what I needed. It was like it was, I needed a reference for my what I was going to say. It would just fit it perfectly. Well, that's the Holy Spirit working there. That's not just my daily reading. Okay, I'll stop there. I'll stop there. I just, you know, when the Holy Spirit is working, let's pray it, let's speak it, let's release it, declare it, act upon it. I think that's why it's important that we pick up on what Wendy said. If anyone is particularly, you know, she's offered to pray. And I think if God is using somebody in particular, and if that was an issue for anybody, then go and tap Wendy on the shoulder before you leave this building and say, okay, that's me. Can you just pray for me? Because actually God has spoken through Wendy, so she's going to have some good prayers to pray on this subject. And do it. Act on it. God, because God doesn't sort of say to the church on a Sunday morning, X, Y, and Z, and then in the church going to go, very good. Because you know what he'll say next week? X, Y, and Z. We're going to get very bored with this. You know. So please do go and don't, you know, don't delay. And I think we are a close-knit community. There's a safe place here to try stuff out. So Graham shared about this pain in his wrist last week. It might have hit, it might have missed, but I know he's kind of like, he's shrugging his shoulders now. He's like, well, I'm going to give it a go, because actually I know you're not going to think I'm a loony any more than, you know, because we test these things, and sometimes we get it, it says, and we prophesy in part and we know in part. We don't always get this right, but we've got to, the more we practice it, the better we'll get at tuning into God.
Mm-hmm. And I am not the most eloquent person, and you know, trying to do it, doing right, doing it. Then I'm not. I really do struggle to express myself. But it isn't me talking. It isn't me just giving me the word. It is the Holy Spirit, and it took me a long time. And I just want to encourage you to take courage. It does take courage to stand there, and all you've got is one word.
Yes. No, thank you. And I think also, I would, if you don't mind me saying, Wendy, that's an out, what I would call an out of characterism, because you said yourself, I'm not very eloquent, and you trip over your words. But I know it was the same as when we had our members meeting, and we were trying, and you just came out with that parable as if you were Jesus, almost telling it afresh and anew. It was kind of, it was like fresh off the press. And then Emma had it open, and again, God confirms these things. Emma had the same thing open in on the page, and Daniel says, well, I've been thinking about that all for the last 2 months or whatever it was. But you said it in a way that was beyond the way Wendy can say it, because if I ask you to tell it now, you'll probably go blah, 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 probably. Do you know, exactly. So exactly. So we just, you know, we know God's in these things. You get a sense of it. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to pray.
Could I just say that earlier I had the word when Emma was talking about the fragrance of Jesus, and that word was lily of the valley. Because Jesus is described as the lily of the valley. Mm. You imagine it. Let that be your mind. Mm.
Yeah. Okay, I'm feeling a stirring. What I'm going to do now is I'm just going to pray for all of us, and I'm just going to ask again for Holy Spirit to come, and then we're just going to see what happens, and we're going to do it again. You know, we're going to keep doing this. Keep asking for the Holy Spirit, that is. And I would just want, you know, so we're more, God speaks, God works. Father, you're stirring us, and we acknowledge that. And we receive it. And we want to pray now again. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill us afresh. Forgive us, Lord, where we have covered up areas of our lives or restrained areas of our lives or withdrawn in areas of our lives from you, Holy Spirit. And we pray again afresh, come and fill us again. And fill us again. And I pray for today, I pray for tomorrow, I pray for the next day, I pray for next week, I pray for next month. Fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with the confidence of faith. We desire these gifts that you have for us. And I want to pray right now for everyone before me. There are different people with different gifts that you want to give, different things that you want to do, different things you want to say in different ways, in different styles. I pray, pour out your Spirit on all of us, that we will be a strong church as we are built up in faith. We pray, let your kingdom come, let your will be done in us and through us and around us, because ultimately we want to see this church strengthened so that this church will be more missional and this church will be more able to minister the gospel to the world around us, and that we would see lives changed and we would see the community transformed and we would see and know that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and not just us, but our neighbours and our friends and our colleagues and the institutions around us and the local council and the schools, and everybody would know that God is here. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you.